The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hello, Rolien.
I lost you there for a second, guys.
Yeah.
I thought you were just voices in my head, but turns out you're there.
Simon and I are the last voices in your head that you want, because we argue about everything. We don't agree on a thing.
Nada. But I do want to get to the Israeli stuff, because there
Welcome to my world, guys.
There is so much happening in the Middle East, Rolien. I mean, just besides what we're going to talk about today, there's just so much more. But anyway, let's jump in. Let's talk about Omar Barghouti and the possible revocation of citizenship. How would that be done, and on what basis, and why it's even being raised at this point in time?
Yes, let's talk about it. Okay. So last night, Aryeh Deri, who is our interior minister, he announced that he has directed the Population and Immigration Authority to not only revoke the citizenship, or actually the permanent residency — he doesn't have citizenship, he has permanent residency — of BDS founder Omar Barghouti, and also possibly deport him. Now, he holds permanent residency status. And how did he get this, I hear you asking? Well, I have the answer. He married an Arab-Israeli woman, and he lives in northern Akko. He also studied at Tel Aviv University. And this is the man who is responsible for BDS. He is the founder of BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. And why Minister Aryeh Deri has been given the go-ahead to revoke his permanent residency status, and he has gotten the issue or the permission from the Attorney General, is because according to our laws of residency, anybody who is deemed to be somebody who does anything that wants to harm the state of Israel, in this case the BDS movement, which he claims is peaceful resistance to Israeli occupation, we know it to be something completely different, as it calls into question the legitimization of, or the legitimacy of, Israel as the Jewish nation state. But not only that, is that Israel is not the only country that recognizes BDS as being anti-Semitic and possibly harmful. Germany does as well. And last week we discussed that Austria are following suit. So he will have his residency revoked. And, you know, in the meantime, Israel has stopped Barghouti from leaving the country quite a few times. And in the last couple of weeks, he was denied a visa to enter the UK. And he has previously been denied entry into the United States as well. So.
Okay, so
While some are saying it's anti-democratic, the law says that Israel is fully within its rights to revoke his citizenship.
I thought he was in jail.
That's Marwan Barghouti, same Khamula.
Same family?
Same family, same clan. In fact, Marwan Barghouti is the one who went on hunger strike and was caught eating
chocolate,
a Mars bar.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So
remember that?
Yeah, I do. But I'm just really fascinated by this, because I thought citizenship can't be revoked. But if this is permanent residency, well, then it clearly can. That's a whole different kettle of fish. So thanks for explaining that, Rolien. This very important story that was published yesterday about the possible non-aggression pact with Arab countries, whomever they may be. What's going on?
Okay, so that news broke yesterday, but we've had a little bit more information come out during the course of the day, and our current Foreign Minister Israel Katz — I mean, of course it could change within the next couple of weeks, one hopes, guys, not because I don't have anything against Israel Katz, but we would like a final government, please — but he has confirmed reports that he has met with top diplomats from a variety of Gulf countries. It doesn't say which ones in particularly, in a bid to try and end any conflict that Israel has with these said states, and start to open the process that will allow for cooperation. And they say that this is the first step, it's a significant step towards formalizing any kind of bilateral ties. This is not a formal recognition of Arab countries of Israel or the formal establishment of ties, but it is a huge step. For the first time in 8 decades, that this kind of the fancy word that we use, guys, is rapprochement, has occurred between Israel and Gulf states, and insofar as the foreign minister has a plan of how the Palestinian-Israeli conflict can be solved, and this will allow him to present his plan to a variety of foreign ministers, and will allow for significant steps to be taken. So this is a very, very positive step indeed.
Found that completely fascinating in light of the fact that on the very same day, an article was published yesterday about the fact that Saudi Arabia might be attempting a rapprochement with Iran of all places. And then at the same time, this story came out, and you just wonder, what is going on in your neck of the woods?
I saw that, and I think, you know, I think states like Saudi Arabia are very, very careful to hedge their bets. This is a massive country that could face a possible onslaught from Iran. We've seen Iran trying to flex its muscle. In fact, Iran is still at the top of the agenda, even though we're still in the process of trying to put together a government, which is why we want to get moving on it as quickly as possible and not go towards a third election because of this massive threat posed by Iran. But I think that the Saudis are very, very careful. They're trying to hedge their bets. They don't want to be in one camp more than the other. But also, having said that, speaking to Iran doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to agree. It's just the possibility, or being open to the possibility of speaking. And we have heard President Trump in the last couple of weeks say he's open to speaking with Iran without preconditions, and then slapping them with harder sanctions. So, you know, it's a, as you say, it's very, very interesting.
Story.
You know, one thing we can say for sure, guys, is the Middle East is never boring.
But really, just think about it. I mean, there they had their oil field attacked and the world's oil supply under threat. Then the Houthis, supported by the Iranians, apparently killed 500 of their soldiers, and they've done absolutely nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
And then today we have the news that Trump is prepared to pull American troops out of Syria, which is also very, very controversial, and also something that, you know, we don't want to see. We need the big policemen of the world to ensure that we don't have an escalation and a spillover from Syria into Israel or Syria into Turkey.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a Kurd for the foreseeable future, that is for sure. Rolene, AOC, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, why is she accusing Donald Trump of anti-Semitism?
Well, this I think is quite fascinating, because I don't think in this case that President Trump has been anti-Semitic at all. And I think she's trying to ride on the current climate against the president at the moment, you know, with the calls for impeachment or the moves towards impeachment. And I also think it's a big lesson. I think we have to be very, very careful in what we term anti-Semitism. So she has said that President Trump's attacks on Republican Adam Schiff, or Representative Adam Schiff, from California, because of the whole impeachment issue. She says that him calling him shifty is anti-Semitic.
How so? How so?
But this is why I find the story fascinating. And I wonder if she's trying to divert attention, or if there's something that she sees as shifty that is more sinister, and maybe she needs to be called out on why would you assume Jews with shifty? Why is it anti-Semitic? That's a question I would want to ask her. She says that, and this was on Twitter, of course, which is where all important statements are made.
Yes,
she said,
never anything gag-worthy.
Never end. I mean, with, you know, completely without context in 140 characters. She said, understand that Trump is engaged in deliberate, atrocious, targeted anti-Semitism towards Chairman Schiff. Then ask yourself why no one cares to denounce it. Well, no one's denouncing it because we don't see his comments as being anti-Semitic.
No, not at all. Sounds like a bit of a personal politicking going on there.
It's exhausting.
Anyway,
research. It is exhausting, Kath. I'm exhausted.
I know, me too. I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, you take the day off. We'll take the day off.
Thanks, Kath.
And you know what? Let's do like this massive 50 gazillion hour detox. No eating or drinking. The day after.
Deal. I think I'll join you in that. And you know what? While we do that, I am going to wish you and the listeners Gemach HaTima Tova. May we all be inscribed in the Book of Life for a good year, for a peaceful year, for a Twitter-free year, if that's even possible. And as we say in Israel, Tzom Kal, an easy fast.
Amen.
Thank you,
that.
Rolene Marks. And we'll catch you on the other side. And to you, all the best. Thank you, Ro.
God
bless. Bye-bye.